Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I'd like to talk about the potential influence of the weather, water condition, and even moon cycles on the increase of shark bites. Moon cycles, that was a very interesting idea back when, but the fact is the moon cycles, the lunar cycles, full moon, new moon, do not have an influence or an effect on shark bites. So the number of bites are not increased during these times. Why do we know that? Well, we did a study on it. So what we did, we were using dates from every incident between 2002 and 2011 and compared them with every full and new moon during that time period. To increase the potential correlation, or to show a potential correlation, we did not just use the exact date of every full and new moon, but also the 3 days before and after such a date. The result was the same, no correlation. And that is kind of surprising though, since more people surf during that time since the waves are then generally larger. This lets me ask, how this idea of such correlation happened in the first place? The most likely answer is that some incidents indeed occur during such times, which actually did, by probability they have to, right? And the scientists back then looked for potential triggers and happened to realize the lunar cycle, there it was a full moon or it was a new moon. Of course, we would then have to ask why they did not do the study we did. Well, I guess they just did not wonder enough about this potential trigger. We know that certain water conditions increase the likelihood of a bite, so it doesn't seem far-fetched that the weather, general weather conditions, could have a similar effect as well. So what first comes to mind is air pressure. We notice that whenever a storm is brewing or was brewing, sharks started to stay closer to the bottom or even swam off into deeper water and did not come back until the front passed. So there must have been something they did not like. That is a little bit surprising. I doubt that the increased waves have an effect, since it takes a very big storm to feel waves below about 10 meters or 30 feet. But the same happens, for example, the same phenomenon happens when a hurricane is getting closer. Then sharks leave way ahead of the actual storm, sometimes 2 to 3 days before it actually hit. Then we also notice a difference in shark behavior between, for example, sunny and overcast skies. Although we have not specifically examined it, it seems that overcast skies make sharks come closer to people. Maybe the less light, how slim it may be, the harder it is for a shark to measure distance. During crepuscular times at dusk and dawn, we're already pretty sure that that's exactly the case. And exactly because of this effect, I feel that people interpret a shark's behavior as more aggressive in evening hours. Why is that? Well, the shark then comes closer than what we would normally like. Overstepping a certain distance towards us is something our subconsciousness picks up right away. Let's take a quick look at that. We talked about it in an earlier show of LTS, but not in this context. Most of the time when people dive with one shark species, they sooner or later get a feeling for how close a shark normally comes. This distance then turns into our comfort distance. As long as the shark stays beyond that distance, we feel actually pretty good. Should a shark then come closer than what we were comfortable with, we feel threatened and start talking about aggressiveness. This happens then quite often when we start interacting with another species whose inner circle, which would reflect most of the time the closest distance shark comes to us, so his inner circle would be smaller than the one of the species we are used to. Of course, this whole scenario is completely different should we wade in the water in the evening hour or still snorkeling during that time, and all of a sudden a shark shows up. Seeing a shark less clearly may also mean we have to use peripheral vision, what can be quite stressful. You may know peripheral vision means that you don't really look exactly at the object, but a little bit to the side. That has to do that we can trigger our black and white cells in our eyes. One thing is for sure, Just because a shark pops up in evening hours does not mean anything, and for sure the situation is not, quote-unquote, more dangerous. Best reaction always is stop moving and stand up, or if you're in deeper water, go into a vertical position and let your feet dangle until the shark or the shadow passes. So you actually pivot or turn with this shadow or this actual shark. Back to the actual topic of potential environmental effects. We just talked about storms, but I differ between high winds and rain and just plain rain without the winds. I don't know what it is, but I always have great interactions during these times. I mean, when there's just plain rain. Could it be that constant raindrops onto the surface, the water surface, create a constant background murmur that would enable a shark to better eliminate it than irregularly breaking waves, or just waves as such? I don't know. But the surface does have a variety of effects on sharks, and the louder the surface, the less likely a shark comes closer. I guess that has to do that picking up our sounds that we make through our motions is one thing, but if the waves, the surface is too loud, I think the shark can't hear us anymore properly. I don't know. Surface has different effects. Despite the escape routes are more limited for a shark, the motion of the waves can also affect the shark in its motion close by. But then there are temperature changes that always influence a shark. As a general rule, we get more species in the tropic and subtropic areas than in the more moderate regions or colder ones. Of course, there are sharks that can live in rather cold water since they possess some kind of heating system, like the white shark, where certain body areas, in this case muscle system, eyes, brain and such, are warmer than the surrounding water. That means that because it's colder, because it's shark's body is warmer, he actually can easily swim there. There's a rule that says by increasing temperature by 10 degrees Celsius, one can double the energy output. But there's actually a reverse effect I have seen with my black tips in Caribbean reefs. The warmer the water gets, the more sluggish they get. We talk about around 28 degrees or 82 degrees Fahrenheit is about the limit. After that, when it gets even warmer, sharks start to swim much slower and are, in general, not really that attentive. But again, this is just an observation and we have never really tested it. What still is a mystery, though, to me and others, is the deepwater sharks. The temperature is much colder, but still, we have plenty of sharks down there. Of course, other factors play an important role for those species, but still. What is also interesting is that even Caribbean reef sharks swim rather deep, 1,000 meters or so, and is quite cold. So how do they deal with that temperature change? I'm sure temperature will keep us on our toes for many years to come. But there are other water conditions, of course, for example, salinity. Here as well, most species prefer a certain level, but can swim in lesser or higher concentrations as well. Just look at the bull sharks, who can leave salt water entirely and remain freshwater their entire life. The funny thing is that since bulls have a bad reputation, people think that due to the change from sea into freshwater, they get more aggressive since they must be stressed out over it. Bull sharks in general are a mystery to me. They can even give birth in fresh water, so they actually are an actual freshwater species. So they can just literally leave seawater, swim into freshwater, and remain there. There are very few other freshwater species out there. They're very intriguing. The problem is just this, they're really, really hard to study because they are rarely be seen. So how does this all relate to incidents with sharks? I'm not sure at this point how all these factors play into these bites. We already know certain constellation of factors where a meteorological phenomenon together with water qualities enhance the chances of getting bitten. But I'm pretty sure there is much, much more out there. Very often, when a bite occurs, we're not able to get all the different parameters of the very moment and how they developed up to the moment of the incident. There is still a lot of work to be done, even more so since most areas where bites occur, sharks were already there for a longer period of time before the incident occurred. I don't want to say that it always needs a weather or water phenomenon that leads to a bite, but chances are that some of these conditions may increase the probability of a bite. Okay, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.